Welcome to the Story of My Pet podcast. I'm your host, Julie Marty Pearson. It was my passion for animals that fueled me to start this podcast, and I'm so glad you're here to join me along the way. Today we'll hear from another guest telling their tales of their amazing pets from yesterday and today. We'll be able to talk about rescue and adoption and so much more about our amazing animal friends. Don't forget to stick around at the end to hear about the organization we're highlighting in today's episode. Hello, 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 my friends and fellow animal lovers. Welcome to a new episode of the Story of My Pet podcast. I can't wait to get into the conversation today, but first I want to introduce my guest and tell you a little bit about her. We have Tara Jahabi. I think I just said it wrong after you told me how to say it. Jabari. Thank you. I'm so awful with names. Hi, Tara. Thank you for being here. You should have heard me when I used to teach and I would slaughter every poor student's name. So Tara is a digital media consultant and podcast producer. She helps connect experts and entrepreneurs with podcasters to promote and educate listeners across the globe through their engaging conversations. Such an important job now, especially for entrepreneurs. We all need podcasts for spreading the word about our businesses and what we do. She also has her own podcast, a biographical podcast called Who Was She? Season 2 is now available and she's currently recording season 3. Hi, Tara. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you about your pets. So let's just start off from the beginning. When did you first find your love of animals?
Since I was a kid, I really like animals. I'm an only child. And I begged and I begged and I begged. And I finally got my first cat. We're Persian, so we named him Pashmalu, which translates to fluffy. And he was like this Persian Siamese, like really fluffy kitty cat. And at a pet store, I was in second grade.
He was my little buddy.
And he was very expressive. I have very good memories. He lived till he was 18, 19 years old.
Wow.
But I really do like animals because, I mean, you know, I'm not crazy. Like I have a cousin who has like had a pet lizard and stuff. And I'm like, that's nice. You can keep that away from me. But the cuddly ones are cute. But in general, I find animals are really cool because there is no real bias towards them. They do go by that instinct. So when you win the affection of an animal, it's so rewarding because they truly just go with who will keep, like, a survival instinct. They don't care, you know, your education or your race or anything like that. They just go by their feeling towards you to protect themselves.
Exactly.
So I really find that genuine, and it's hard to find that in really anything else in the world. So I really do like going and hanging out with animals.
You know, that's so true. I think that, you know, animals really do show us that unconditional love that is so hard to say that you can really have. I mean, I'm not a mother of human babies, and I know that, you know, parents feel that when their babies are born and all of that. But for me, animals are really the place that I found that. You know, they have, like you said, they have no bias. They have nothing they've been brought up to believe or think about whoever. They're just at their gut. If they feel safe with you, then they'll shower you with love.
Exactly. It's something so genuine and pure.
Yes.
I really love.
Yeah. And I'm sure as an only child that you were really wanting that companionship. So
I think that's a big part of it, was to like have a little buddy or something like that, just to play with or just to have around. Yeah, and it like someone small like me, all that stuff. So it was fun. Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it too.
Yeah. So Fluffy lived to about 18 or 19.
It was a long time.
Yeah, that is a long time for a cat. Although, you know, I saw one the other day, someone said they were dumped at a shelter and were told the cat was 22.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So, anyway, we won't get into that and what people do with their pets for right now. Yeah. But so after Fluffy, what was your next pet?
So when he was 16, my dad had a family friend who and she was a teacher for Montessori school, and she had a student who had just gotten a cat. And they named her Roxy. But they realized the little girl was highly allergic to her.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the makes of cats and like the breeds of cats and dogs. I really don't know. So, but it's like a tabby cat, I think. Like,
okay,
right. So I think they're really a lot more people are allergic to them.
Yes, I have a tabby, and her hair is so thick and she just sheds like crazy.
Yeah. So I think that was something, because I had Fluffy, I didn't really have it. I mean, he shed like crazy too, but it was a different kind of, I guess, fur and stuff. So anyway, she's like, I don't want to put it in a shelter. I definitely don't want to put it in a kill shelter, all sorts of stuff. And I had my college roommate, I had graduated by now, but I had a college roommate who volunteered at an animal shelter, so at least I knew something. So I was like, why don't I go and just like meet the cat and let them know that I know a place.
Okay.
My mom came with me, and she fell head over heels for Shiva. We named her Shiva, spoiler alert, but for the cat. She's like, she's so tiny. She was about 5 pounds. I mean, she's still 5-6 pounds.
Oh, wow. She is.
That
tiny.
Always says she needs to gain weight, but she's sprightly. And they don't know what happened to her. They found her, you know, the shelter found her in like a garbage can with her 3 or 4 kittens. And she was obviously malnourished and stuff. And she was very protective. Mm. Right.
Right.
So then this family adopted the cat, and then realized that their, you know, 4-year-old is highly allergic to the cat.
Right.
And so, but she has so much love and affection.
Yeah.
Like, she will not leave you alone. And so they didn't want to do that. And so the mom started crying, thinking about just like, how could I have done this? Like, they didn't know that the daughter would be allergic. And stuff. And my mom's like, I really like her. She's so petite and so like expressive. She has like these green eyes and all sorts of stuff, just like the most delicate features. And my mom's like, well, Fluffy's older and he needs a buddy. And just like, he's always sleeping all the time. He's perfectly healthy, but you know, all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, I mean, I always wanted 2 cats and 3 dogs. I felt like that was the perfect number. But my parents did not care for animals, and they're like, we only took Fluffy for you. And I'm like, all right, well, don't get resentful. For the record, they cried a lot more when he died than I did.
I think that always happens. You know, the parents say, no, it's yours. And then, you know, they're heartbroken.
But so we took her in, and my mom liked the name Shiva, and so we named her Shiva, and I kept it Shiva Roxy.
Oh, that's cute. Her.
But you know, she goes by Shiva, and I call her Shiva Diva, really, because she is the queen of the house. She was very like, she has a way to like, I found her hiding inside the piano. Like, she figures out a way to hide. She's very good at hiding because she doesn't trust anyone. Once you gain her trust, she will not leave you alone. Actually, I tried to get her to come here, and she's like, it's time for my nap.
Yes.
I don't look this cute with just 20 hours of sleep. It needs 22 and a half hours. Thank you very much. So she like left, and she needed in her chair with a sun rays because she needs to get her vitamin D.
Yes.
But so she came along, and once she started getting familiar and feeling safe, oh, she was the boss. And poor Fluffy never had to deal with another. I mean, I called him Prince Charming because he was so good to her. He'd be falling asleep, like he's just fast asleep, and she'll come and knock his nose, because she was two. She was 2 years old at the time. So she's young, and he's 16. And she would just like slap him in the face and he'd wake up. He's like, oh, okay, sure. You want to play cat and mouse or whatever, you know, like tag. So he'll go and chase her around. Every time they would eat, he would make sure she ate first.
Oh, how sweet.
Then he would eat. My favorite memory though, for a while, so in the doorway, whenever she'd like be hiding and then she'd pounce on him when she knew he was going to come into the room. And then one of these days, I saw he knew she was hiding behind the wall. So he just sat waiting patiently. And she's like, I thought he was coming. I thought he was coming. So she goes and she kind of puts her head in there and then he slaps her in the face. He's like, I know what you do. So I loved it.
He's figured out her tricks.
Yeah. And so it was really, really, it's so cute to see. You know, he really played with her, you know, he did whatever she wanted, and she will sleep like on your face. If like, she loves cuddles. She likes her cuddles in the morning, particularly.
Yes.
And yeah, so that was that. And then we can get to the third pet. But...
Well, she definitely sounds like a diva. You know, I had three cats and then rescued our fourth, and it turned out to be a girl, and all my other cats have been boys, and people told me they're different. I'm like, really? Can they be? Oh yeah, she is the princess and runs this show. So mm-hmm. I totally understand.
And I later learned that female cats are the most territorial of the animal kingdom.
Oh wow.
Which I can kind of explain. So basically, shall I move forward to the, because it kind of ties in.
Sure.
So the third cat that we got, so Fluffy died. I noticed something was a little wrong. He slept on my bathroom mat all day. And I was like, well, he'll move once I go shower. And he didn't move. I'm like, that's odd. And the next day, I mean, he slept there for 24 hours.
Oh,
didn't
gosh. Move.
Didn't eat, didn't have drink, and anything. And then the next morning, I heard him kind of meowing. I don't know, but he was right next to his litter box. And I had read somewhere that when a cat is feeling like it's sick or is going to die, they go to their litter box. I can't remember where I read it, but I was like, Mom, I think something's wrong. Now, so... our vet was saying, you know, Fluffy's healthy, but he is an older cat. And should you need to go to an animal hospital, this is a 24-hour animal hospital. So he sent it, and it was really close to our place. So I said, let's take him. And on the way there, I said, if they say, you know, you need to have operations and this and this, or we can put him down, let's put him down. Because he's a cat, he can't. You don't want to do that to a human being, to be stuck with tubes and all sorts of stuff. But an animal can't really communicate either. And you can't communicate to them like, this is going to help you breathe or whatever. So I was like, he lived a good long life and stuff. So she's like, okay. So we took him in, and they said like his lungs were filling up with water.
Oh, fluid. That
they would need to drain his lungs and then keep him on a vent. Not like a ventilator, something, a bunch of stuff. Exactly what I told them I don't want to have.
Right.
Or they can put him down and he will peacefully go. And I said, listen, I think that's the best. And they're like, honestly, sometimes it is the best if you guys are okay. So we were there and he went, and it's like, in my head, I was like, man, I wish every living thing could have died this way. Like, surrounded by people who loved them. Right. And so peacefully. It was a very interesting experience. I didn't find it sad necessarily. It was the best situation, right? So anyway, so he died, and then Shiva took it the hardest. I mean, she would go to the bath mat and just sniff it and cry not stopping for days on end. His favorite spot on the couch, she would go to his spot and just sniff it and cry. And my mom's like, that's it. I can't handle this. I can't handle this anymore. We have to get another cat, and it has to be the same age as her so they can die at the same time, because I can't handle this. It's like heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's and awful.
So we went to, technically this dog was my dad's dog. So, but my dad had adopted a dog at Orphans at the Storm in the Chicago suburbs. Okay. And he's like, well, I'll take you guys there to see a new cat. And I remember we drove with the dog, and the dog started shaking because I think she thought we were returning her. And I'm like, you idiot father, you shouldn't have taken her with you. So anyway, so he was like, let me go drive her back, because my parents were divorced. So I was living mostly with my mother and stuff. So he was like, let me take her back home and I'll come pick you guys up. And it took over an hour. I want to say two, but I can't remember exactly. My mom's really picky. She goes by the feel. Like, I remember Fluffy. He had a little brother, right?
Right.
And I loved them all. I was like, I want to take them all. And she's like, that one's cuter. And I was like, okay.
So,
so she was really picky. So we explained the situation that Shiva is now 4 years old, and she's really territorial, really. She's clearly been abused. I mean, she has been afraid of her own shadow. We've seen it,
right.
And all sorts of stuff. And all that stuff. And they're like, well, that's how I learned that female cats are extremely territorial.
Okay.
Right. So either you need to find a male cat the same age, or it has to be a kitten so that she doesn't feel competition, because she will get violent.
Yeah, she won't feel threatened. She'll feel more motherly.
Exactly. And my mom's like, nope, I don't want to deal with another dead cat and have the other one crying. So she's like, has to be the same age. So then they showed us a couple of the same age ones. Mm-hmm. And I loved them all. I was like, I'll take this one and this one. And my mom's like, no, it's not cute enough. Or I don't know what her thought process is. And they said, there is one other cat. This was the last cat we saw. And they named him Zeus. And they're like, you can name him whatever you want. But he is a big cat. I mean, he's 16 pounds. He's almost the size of a dog. He's huge. And they found him in the middle of the highway.
He was clearly
domesticated, but there was no chip or anything. Because now in Illinois, we're located in Illinois, you need to chip animals.
Right.
But they never found one for him. So they brought him in, and there was another cat who was so scared of every little thing and would just hide in the cage. Right. But they needed to sometimes put them together. And Zeus was the only cat that this one could handle. And he was very patient and very quiet, and just let this cat do whatever. If it needed to bite him, he didn't move. He was very you got to do what you need to do. But I'm not here to, I'm minding my own business. And
he has calming energy.
Very calming energy. So she's like, you might want to look into him. So we looked at him, and he's gray with white, you know, he kind of looks like the O'Malley cat in Aristocats, but gray.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like white paws.
When I was looking at your pictures, it made me a little sad, because he reminds me a lot. I had a Cosmo who was gray and white, and he was just such a love bug. So there's something about gray and white boy cats with those cute pink noses.
And he has yellow eyes and stuff. And I'm a Supernatural fan. I'm like, it's a demon. I love it. And my mom's like, that one, that's beautiful. I love his fur. And I'm like, good Lord, and all that stuff. And so we took him. And they're like, you can name him whatever you want. And my mom's like, no, Zeus is the name of one of the dogs in Magnum P.I., the original with Tom Selleck.
And that's funny. Right,
so Zeus it is. And, you know, Zeus is a god, and Shiva is a goddess. And people are like, whoa. And I'm like, that was pure coincidence. So we brought him in, and Shiva's like, what the frick is that? And she did whatever. She stayed her distance. And he was very calm, and he was like, that's okay, I get it. And he used to steal, I remember one time, it took him a couple of weeks to realize he has a forever home.
Right.
Because I remember we had like a chicken, just like a, you know, like a full chicken. And we put it on the counter and we went to go get the vegetables or something like that to move it to, and the next thing I know, it's gone. I was like, what the hell? And then for the next week, we kept finding parts of the chicken over the apartment, because Zeus was like, I don't know what the hell is going on, but I gotta make sure I have food and stuff. And we're like, idiot, you are fine. You have a forever home. We're feeding you on a regular basis. Stop eating our food, first of all. And also, but it was also so sad. I was like, what the hell happened to you that made you feel like you had to hide this? Or, and he would eat everything. And then he'd get sick because he would eat everything. And all that stuff. We're like, we got to train you. But he's super calming. He's super chill. And he has this, my aunt came to visit. And she's not an animal person, but he'll come sit right next to her and very patiently and like cock his head.
Oh, that's
and then
the
his
best.
his long paws, he goes and puts it on her leg and he's like, you know, you want to pet me. It'll make you feel better. Pet me. And she does it. And she's like, it is nice. It's like, I told you, you know, and he's super, he almost is like a dog too. Just not the excited kind. Right. He just follows my mother everywhere she goes.
One of my cats is the same size. He was like 17 pounds. He's not fat. He's just a big cat. He's long and tall. And he follows my husband around like he's his little duckling. And they have their own little meow language. It's just a whole thing. When the cats find their person, that's their person.
That's their person. So it was... Yeah, but he, again, is another Prince Charming. I was like, man, Shiva, I wish I had your luck with men. Fluffy was spoiled you rotten. Zeus spoils you rotten.
How long did it take for Shiva to get used to him?
I think about a month or so. Right. And then, you know, a good couple of months, she was like, oh, no, no. He understands. I'm the boss.
Yes.
And all that stuff. But... yeah, and then she never got along with my dad's dog, not once.
Okay.
I don't know what her problem. And that dog was so sweet and so kind. And Zeus and Nyla, the dog, got along pretty well.
Okay.
Again, Zeus is so big, almost like the size of a dog, a small dog. But like, if you saw it, and like a lot of people are like, God, that is a big cat, and he's he had some weight problems because he would just keep eating because he didn't know when his next meal was. So the vet's like, he really needs to watch out, and then she needs to gain weight. So I had to like watch them eat so that he wouldn't get her food, or all, you know, when she was done, I had to put it up so that, you know, and then try and kind of force feed her. Not, but you know, like I was like, oh, you're taking a nap. Wake up, have a little bit of food. And then Zeus, I'd be like, you're done.
Yeah. I've had to do that too. It's so funny. We had four at one point, so there was a lot going on. And one of ours had a special diet, so he had to get fed on the counter because the other one would just eat it no matter what it was.
It's but again, he waits to have her meal first.
It's so sweet.
And just but I don't know, they're precious. So.
I saw a couple of your photos where they're sitting together. Do they cuddle a lot?
They cuddle a lot, especially in the evening time, but they do. And it's cute to find them in their different positions. And when he licks her and she's like, not right now, I need my beauty sleep. And then when he's asleep, she'll wake him up. She's like, I'll lick you first, but get ready because I need you to lick me too. And all that. Because she's a diva. She's totally a diva.
It's all on her terms. But I love that he knows it and he's fine with it.
Yeah.
He's just happy to have a home.
Yeah. So they've been here now over 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they're doing well. And my mom will sometimes like, these damn cats. And I was like, you're the reason we have them. We would have been done years ago with Fluffy dead.
Right.
She's like, don't remind me. I'm like, well, then don't complain. So all sorts, like we're going on a trip and we have to get somebody to watch the cats because Zeus had really bad stomach problems. So now he can only digest wet food.
Okay.
Because when we used to go on trips, I would and with Fluffy, he was from the pet store,
right,
and stuff, so he was always good. We would just leave him with more dry food and water,
right,
for the week. No one needed to come, but, and you know, we cleaned up the litter box. We were like, it's fine, he can handle it,
right,
and it was fine. I'll just clean up a little bit, but he could monitor or moderate his food intake. Like, he kind of got it, you know,
right.
Not with these two. So
I'm sure
if I put a big bowl of dry food, Zeus is like, well, I got to eat that now.
He'll belly up to the bar and just go for it.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're the one who wanted him. You're the one who chose him and all that stuff. So, yeah.
So have you found someone yet? Are you still?
We did. We found somebody who's retired and he's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, if you can, I'm starting to introduce dry food for them because they get fed wet food in the morning and in the evening, but you can just have to come once a day. He's like, it's okay, I can come twice a day. I'm like, well, if you found it, like, you can also just leave dry food, because now they are it's not that they overeat now,
mm-hmm.
but his stomach problems.
Right.
Well, I kind of experimented. I talked to the vet and I found better dry food, but wet food is always better for
right.
animals. Yeah. So I was just like, you know, for a couple of weeks, it's fine if he has dry food. It's like, right. No. So he's really sweet about it. He, so hopefully they'll get along. And Zeus is really, he's like a dog because he likes to meet people, right. like humans. He's like, hey, what's up? What you all about? And also,
he's a social cat.
He is. Both of them are, but Shiva, you know, you have to win her trust. And right. then she is closer to you than your own shadow because she won't leave your side.
Yeah. I love that about cats. I think cats get a bad rap sometimes. They think that
do. And
they're
it's
just
so annoying.
Yes. I don't know how many people I've had say stuff to me because they know I have cats and not no dogs right now. And they're like, so they just like, you know, keep themselves right. I'm like, no. They are where you are.
They're like, they're so lazy. I'm like, I dogs sit and they sleep just as much as a cat does. They right. don't barely, because you have to take them outside.
Right.
There's this illusion that they're just more active and more social. And I'm like, I don't think so. And I am not a cat or a dog person. It just happened. Again, if I had it my way, I'd have both, multiple
right.
of them. But my parents were like, no, they didn't grow up with animals inside the house.
Right.
They're like, and I do think it's a very Western and American thing. Maybe not necessarily American, but my parents grew up in Iran. And like, when I was living in and visiting Greece or Peru, Turkey, I mean, there's animals everywhere.
Right, but they're outside.
Yeah. And the stores and the restaurants like knew about them and they'd kind of feed them, but they didn't let them come inside. So no right. one owns these animals. So I get it. But I think that's why my parents were like, oh my God, that's a lot of work. And then, you know, they had fleas and all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
She's like, because they're not meant to be inside. And I'm like, well, no.
Yeah. And it's hard when they get fleas and they're inside cats. You're thinking, wait a minute, how did that happen? But it happens.
It happens. Yeah. We let them out for a little while. And I wasn't thinking. Or Nyla, like my dad got the dog for the first time.
Oh, okay.
And we took her out to a park and I let her run around in the grass. And then she got fleas because he didn't realize he needed to give her a shot. So he always just
right.
put her on the streets, like in the neighborhood
right.
and stuff like that to go. But I don't really, and it's a pain in the butt.
Yes, it is. I've done it a few times.
Yeah.
I've rescued a few kittens with them and that's easy because they're so little, but you know, once they're in your house, it's like, you feel like you have to clean everything.
Yeah. It's so annoying, but they're so precious. It's
oh yeah. I would do anything for them.
No, right.
Yeah. Whatever they need. One of ours is diabetic. We have to give him insulin twice a day. So
oh my goodness. this. Yeah, yes. I know. I don't know how. I have a good friend who fosters a lot of cats, and she has 8 of her own.
Wow.
And when she got pregnant, she only has one child so far, but she's been dealing with cats, mostly cats, for like 15 years. And she was like, anything a baby can throw at me, I've dealt with it. You know, a sick cat, an old cat, a new cat, a, you know, this one.
Yes.
All sorts of stuff. She's so not fazed with this baby. I mean, now the kid is like 4, but anytime she like bumps into something, she's like, you're okay. And right. She's like, do you know how many? There was one cat I remember. He was so beautiful. I kind of called him Joey Tribbiani. Because she said he is the dumbest cat you will ever see. Like, he'll just piss himself and then be like, why am I wet? And all sorts of stuff. Like, that's why I call him Joe, because he's so beautiful. He was like this gray and like pointy, just like the epitome of cat eye, right? And just so cool. I was like, he's gorgeous. She's like, yes, but he's the dumbest cat. And he was, what was my point? I forgot. But anyway, so he was just like, he was so stupid. I've seen it. She's like, no, he's an idiot. Like, he'll walk, you know, he'll bump into something. Maybe that was my point. He'll like bump into something and then he'll go back at it again. He's like, no, I can get through. And like, no, idiot, it's just glass. Or like, you know, it's not seat, like all sorts of. So like, when her kid would bump into something, she's like, it cannot be as stupid as Joey Tribbiani. I don't remember the actual cat's name, but I mean,
and that's what you call him.
But she like let me know. She's like, so Joey is really sick. Of course, he was really, really old too. And I'm like,
right.
And in her sense of humor, because she's dealt with like dozens and dozens of cats, she's like, I just really need him to like be at peace and die already, because I can't handle any more stupidity from this cat. It was really funny. And I miss him. He's so gorgeous. She's like, he's so stupid.
That's so funny.
But yeah, her kid is nothing compared to all these cats.
Oh, their mischief. No. And especially having that many together. I mean, one cat alone is one thing, but the more you add, the crazier it gets.
Oh, and that was another thing that I learned is, so her doctor, the pediatrician, was like, she didn't, I was like, with cats, like this many cats, and the cats would sleep in the crib sometimes with the baby and stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, the pediatrician's like, I'm not crazy about it. Like, keep it away from litter and all sorts of stuff. But the more you're exposed to this, the less likely you're going to have allergies anyway.
Exactly.
Because this isn't necessarily innate. Like, she's going to be deathly allergic to a cat. Right. And she was pregnant with 8 cats around too. So, but after I had Shiva with Fluffy, I was training for a half marathon, like my first half marathon, and I kept getting sick to the point that I needed to take steroids to get better so that my doctor can figure out what the hell is going on.
Right.
And they found, and they took me to an allergist, and apparently I'm allergic to everything except for dogs and cockroaches and a particular kind of soil. Everything else, like feathers, cats.
Oh my gosh.
Everything else I'm allergic to. Not food based, but like just, pollen, all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
So she's like, do you have any cats? I'm like, I have 2 cats. She's like, yeah, you should get rid of them. I'm like, the hell I will. If it was severe allergies to just cats, I might have had to consider it, like the family that gave me Shiva in the first place.
Right.
But I was literally allergic to everything. And so I was like, no, what am I going to do? Dust? I'm allergic to dust? All sorts of stuff. So I was like, this is ridiculous. No, I have to take all this allergy medicine anyway.
Right.
I'm not getting rid of these 2 cats. One who's clearly been abused,
right,
has gone through all sorts of hell because she's so afraid of everything.
Right.
And the other one, who only knows us, he was 16, 17 at the time. So I was just like, I can't believe people would just assume you can just get rid of an animal like that because they're an animal. It was anyway. So I never did, and I still have the allergies, and I have done allergy shots, but I'm so bad that even the lowest dosage gave me a reaction.
Oh my gosh.
So it was this whole thing. So I'm just like dealing with it. And I figured some other stuff, it's not so bad, but it was just interesting to hear about these allergies and stuff, but.
Right. And you know, the sad truth is I've seen so many rescues tell stories like that. Oh, well, the husband ended up being allergic or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, with a child and it being severe, I totally understand. And they were.
Right, when they're that little too.
And they were good about finding, you know, her a new home. Yeah. But so many people will take them to the shelter saying, sorry, we're allergic. It's like, yeah, I'm allergic. I have to take allergy medicine.
Yeah.
Several times a day. I would never give up my cats or dog and or anybody.
That's why I always tell people, whoever wants to have an animal and they're not sure, and they particularly if you've never been around, like raised with animals,
right?
I was like, you should foster, you should volunteer, make sure you don't have an allergic reaction that's debilitating or anything, and two, these animals live at least a decade, even the dogs, like the biggest dogs, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I think gerbils and stuff are a little less, I don't know the details for that, but mostly for cats and dogs that I have experienced, I was like, go volunteer, go foster, see how much responsibility is needed. We did end up fostering, my roommate and I fostered puppies, and it was awful. I lasted one night. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And they had worms, and they had like medication to get rid of worms.
Oh gosh.
And like my roommate slept with them the whole night and they wouldn't shut up. You know, like they just kept it. And I'm like, stop. And I was like, I can't handle it. I don't want children. I don't want this. And all that stuff. It was so much. It's a lot of responsibility.
It is. But like you said, that's such a good way to find out if that's really what you want. Yeah. And I think that's great when different organizations do foster to adopt. So you can test it out, whether it's good, you know, you're new to having a pet or you have another pet and you want to see if it'll work out. I think it really is the best situation. My mom did that recently and the dog was just so... she had the same owner for like 15 years and he was moving out of country. Well, she was just traumatized and destroyed things and hid, and it was awful. And you know, it scared my mom to death. Now she doesn't want to even try again to have another dog. But
if this was a dog,
it's a learning experience, and you have to test it out. You never know what's going to work out or not. But I do agree with you. I think volunteering or trying fostering, it's really going to give you a glimpse into what your world will be like.
Exactly. Because, and this is something that I learned, it's really heartbreaking, of one of the organizations that I got to volunteer with in Mexico City. Apparently, Mexico City has a huge dog problem. That it's a horrible habit. And it's not just in Mexico City.
Right.
That you'll get them as a puppy, as a gift. And as soon as they get outside of, they grow up, they give them away.
Oh, gosh.
They get rid of them. And so, and then these dogs are like, what the hell is happening here? I'm like, no, it's, you don't do it to a human.
Right.
You don't want to do that to an animal. Like, honestly, bring them to a farm where they have other animals to play with and understand, like, you are an outdoor animal now. Kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know how people can just be so insensitive to that.
I don't understand either. I don't know how you could possibly let an animal you've taken care of and connected with just go outside and fend for itself.
Yeah, it is weird. And I was like, because it's not just about the animal. It tells me a lot about your character too.
Right.
And when they're like, how, you know, I've heard people who are like, this adoption for animals, or like you have to foster for a little while, and they're judging me like I can't take care of an animal. And I'm like, I think it's beneficial for both parties, because if you can't, then they have to go through the whole process again.
Yep.
There's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of, you know, medical records that need to be shared with and stuff. So they're like, we want to make sure, because if you cannot, for whatever reason, you can't handle the responsibility, you have too many other responsibilities, you're allergic, whatever, you travel all the time or something, then it wasn't all done. We can find another home and this animal isn't necessarily traumatized.
Right.
But also, we have to make sure, are you going to take it seriously?
Right. Yeah, I know some organizations, you know, they have applications, they'll do home visits, especially if there's certain kind of dogs. Yeah, they want to make sure there's, you know, safe outside space, which I get. And I know even one I've seen where they want to know, like they want to contact your vet to make sure you're taking your animals in for regular visits so that they know you'll keep up with their health. Yeah. And things like, I mean, some things may be a little extreme, but in the end, what they're trying to do is they don't want that to happen. They don't want them to be put on the street or taken back or taken for fear of going to having to end up at a kill shelter. So they're doing everything they can for the animal in the end. And it really is beneficial because especially if you haven't had a pet, you need to realize what you're getting.
It's so much.
And cats and dogs are different, but they both have a lot of needs that you have to be prepared for. So
yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So you mentioned the organization in Mexico. What was that organization that you volunteered with?
So La Casa del Tiso, I think it's in the Roma area. Fun fact, if you've ever seen the film Roma, it's like 10 minutes away from that house. So I was living in Mexico City for a month because I was in a program called Remote Year, where you live in a new country each month of the year.
Wow, that's fun. So
they try and also give back to the community. In like Colombia, we worked at we volunteered at a shell orphanage. In Mexico City, for instance, we did it for an animal shelter, and they said all we ask is that you come and walk a dog at least once. And in 2 weeks, I went 7 times.
Thank you.
They have all these dogs, and they just need them to be walked. Right. You know, an hour or something like that. And I didn't speak really any English. And my Spanish, I wanted to work on, but I was like, puedo caminar con perro. And then, of course, I forgot the plastic bag, and you're supposed to pick up after them. So sometimes I didn't.
Right.
But, you know, and I was like, ¿cómo se dice bag?
Also, how do you say poop bag?
But it, you know, when we went to go be introduced, and so that they knew who we are and how we knew how to get to them, mm-hmm. It was a group of like 7 of us who were in the program, and we all got a dog and stuff. And one of the dogs was like a big pit bull, I think, you know.
Okay.
And he was big. I mean, and he was low to the floor. And he had scratches all over his face, and he breathed so hard, like, you know, all sorts of stuff. And we're like, what's wrong with him? And my friend fell in love with him. I said, well, we rescued him from a illegal dog fighting thing.
So awful.
And they usually, unfortunately, feel like pit bulls are so violent, and they're really not necessarily.
Nope.
But they will do that. So these scratch marks are from his fights with the other dogs, or sometimes the humans beat him or something. And he's not healthy because he's breathing so heavily. And he was the sweetest dog in the world. Oh my gosh. And he like needed a break, but he was in the middle of the street, and we're like, not here. No, they barely follow the laws of driving. So we need to move to the sidewalk. And we had to like carry him. And so he's like, I need water kind of thing. He was so precious. And so she and I went back one time. She's like, where's the bulldog? And they're like, oh, he just went to the bathroom. He doesn't need to be walked. We have like 30 other dogs. And she's like, damn it.
She wanted to see him again.
And also, you know, they had small dogs and big dogs and stuff. But I always remembered that one dog, the pit bull, was just, I mean, I was like, how do they like make money and find it okay to do this to a living thing? You know that it happens to humans too, but something about animals, because they can't necessarily speak, or you can't communicate with them very well.
Well, they're defenseless in that way.
They're defenseless. It was so much. And so it was just, you know, and then I had like a little chihuahua who was like yapping the whole time. And I was like, so it's interesting to see how different the personalities of each animal are.
Right.
And just as much as a human.
Oh, completely. And it's so important what you said about pit bulls. They have such a bad stereotype.
Yeah.
It's like people think that they're these awful dogs. Well, it's because they've been chosen to be the ones to fight. They're taught to fight. They know they have to fight to survive. But I'm a dog sitter, and one of my clients is a pit bull mix, Lizzie. She is the sweetest dog you have ever met. And she loves people. She'll run after anybody that walks by her house because she just wants to love you. She has the biggest pity smile. I even took her to my mom's house to visit. My mom was like, "That's the sweetest dog I've ever met." I go, "I know. She's a pit bull. They're sweet." So I think that's really important because those stereotypes, it's the reason, especially where I live in Central California, our shelters are full of pit bull mixes that have been bred in backyards that for fighting or whatever it may be. And so it is really sad because so many of them end up in shelters, and some places in the U.S. actually ban you from having pit bulls, which is just crazy to me.
Oh, interesting.
So
why is it banned? Because they think you're gonna,
because they think they're aggressive, violent dogs.
Oh, I thought they thought that the people can't be trusted. Okay.
No, they, like, I've heard people say that they're trying to move into a new apartment, but in the lease it says they're not allowed to have pit bull dogs. So it's really crazy. Some areas of the country are worse than others, but I think the truth is they're not. Like you said, the sweetest dog, even what he's been through, he was taught to fight and he was still so sweet because.
Yeah, he was so sweet. Always patient with the yappy little.
Yeah. I think the forgiving nature of animals, it's part of that unconditional love. Even when they've been abused, it may take them a while, but they always come around when they realize you're going to take care of them.
I know. I like being around animals. I don't like when people, you know, I have like a cousin who hates cats and is like such an ass about it. He's like, "Your cat is ugly." You know, like he's like, "It's so stupid you have a cat." So then a couple of years later, he'll see me and he's like, "How's your cat?" I'm like, "Well, Fluffy's dead." He's like, "Oh, sorry." And I'm like, "What do you give a shit?" You know, I was like, "Don't be an asshole."
People are so funny.
It's not your cat.
Right.
But you see, like, an animal has never done that.
Right. Right.
And that's why I like having animals around. Like, children are terrible, too. You know, they're bullies. They're annoying. They won't shut up and all sorts of stuff. But an animal is not necessarily like that. And I would much rather have a bunch of animals around.
Me too.
I mean, I would like to have kids still.
Yeah, I think you are my people.
Yeah, it's just like they have such a genuineness to them. And yes. So that's why they're like, "Are you a cat person or a dog person?" I'm like, I'm both.
Right.
And I'm interested in other animals as well, but it is a lot of the smell.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's, I know people like to say, "Oh, I'm a dog mom," or "I'm a cat mom," or "I'm a dog person." And some people are, they only like one or the other, but that's why I like to say I'm an animal person. I love all animals. I mean, we have two cats and a tortoise, and my husband has a tortoise named Rufus. He's outside eating in the garden. And my husband has tarantulas.
Ugh. Oh, God. Okay, that's great.
Right. Yeah, he's had all sorts of reptiles growing up. But, you know, I think it really is that you're an animal person. It doesn't, one isn't better than the other. Whatever type of animal you love is great. And, you know, just take care of it.
I mean, I also, this is before we really knew what goes into having these, but like, particularly in places like Thailand or Indonesia, where you could like pet a tiger or ride an elephant or something like that. I was like, "That's so cool." And then you find out. I feel like it's in the most few years did they say, like, how are they able to do that? They've drugged them, they've beaten them, you know. And you're like, well, obviously you are not supposed to just have a tiger as a pet.
Yes.
And so it's, you're jealous. You know, that Tiger King, that whole documentary series at the height of lockdown. But I was like, I know I'd be just as addicted
right,
to having these cubs and these lions and these tigers and stuff, when they sleep with you in the same bed and they right. love you, right. oh my God, that has to be like a drug, better right. than a drug.
But then you see how they treat them when they get older and you just break
and it's
your
just
heart.
You're like, you cannot, this is not natural, this is not right. allowed.
Right.
They are our, it is it to say that they are predators because they could kill
yes.
and eat us?
Yes.
Yes. They are, and it's, and they only kind of, I guess, again, it goes back to like animal instinct. They right. don't, I don't know if they necessarily hunt unless they're hungry. Or
right.
if they feel like they're in danger, right?
Right.
So all sorts of, it's really interesting. But I was like, I so am jealous of these guys, but also they are clearly insane.
Right.
And
yeah, I mean, of course the idea of having it, oh, it would be so sweet, but in the end, that's not how, they shouldn't be treated that way, and they should no. be able to live, even if they have to be held in captivity because they've never, you know, been out in the natural world. They should be in an open space where they can run and they're not being used as a prop.
Right. I mean, like, it's or they need so to sad. Have their land protected because we right. keep taking away their land.
Yep.
All sorts of stuff. So in a way, I kind of wish I did study a little bit more animal stuff where like they kind of monitor and make sure. I think tigers, right. a couple of really wild animals are almost endangered because
yeah.
their territory is being taken away and mm-hmm. stuff. So there are studies like I think it's like some sort of gorilla or chimpanzee and stuff like
yes.
that. They study them and stuff. It is interesting to me. But I don't think I could do that. I'm a city person. I don't really feel like having to sleep in a rainforest.
But like you said, we can educate ourselves on it and help promote, you know, the appropriate way of keeping them alive
yeah. I mean,
and promoting them not being hunted or having their, oh, it's just so awful. It's hard for me to even think about.
Have you ever read Life of Pi or have you seen the film?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I kind of get the uses of a zoo,
mm-hmm.
but there is this argument that a zoo is unethical to
right.
begin with.
Right.
But then how do you educate yourself as a human? You give
right.
them some sort of shelter, all sorts of stuff. And then the whole, I guess, allegory of the, whether you believe that in the boat was a tiger or it was a human, and this is kind of a spoiler, there is a theory that it was his mother and not
right.
a tiger.
Right.
But a mother's love is
right.
as fierce as a tiger.
Exactly.
So, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it was just interesting, like whether you want, whether whichever story you believe in, the point was the strength of a
right.
survival to make mm-hmm. sure that this child is taken care of.
Right. And I do believe animals have that same instinct, just like with Fluffy taking over with Shiva. When I was a child, we brought in a puppy and we had an older golden retriever, and she just treated him like he was her own and, you know, took care of him and showed him how to do stuff. And so I think with all the other animals, you know, it's hard to know zoos, which ones are good or bad. I just feel like if they're in any way using the animal as a prop and showing them off,
that's
it's
right.
not good.
Yeah.
I think if zoos are more sanctuaries where it's look and see, but they're not having interaction and being touched, I think that really is. And they have enough space. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing, because I kind of want to be there to like feed the giraffe. But is that okay?
Right. As long as the giraffe has 100 acres and it comes to you, that's fine. Yeah.
But and also reminds me of one of my favorite memories with Fluffy is when I, for the first time I had seen, and only time, Sophie's Choice.
Okay.
And, you know, they do say like animals have that extra instinct. Like if you've ever seen a natural disaster film.
Yes.
The birds
they
are
know
flying.
Before.
All, yeah.
And I can tell you that's true because one of my cats lets us know when an earthquake's coming.
There you go. Yeah, like, or that's why they, you know, if you have some sort of like a heart problem or something.
Right, yeah.
A service animal and stuff. So I was watching it and it's heartbreaking. I'll never have to see, I don't need to see that movie again. And I remember Fluffy was upstairs. He comes downstairs, like all like, I woke up, but I fell. He gave me this look, like he's like, you may pet me, but do not disrupt my slumber. I'm here for you, you know, and all sorts of, and I'm like crying. And I remember watching a comedy. I was like, I need to watch a comedy next and all that stuff. He was like, not so loud. So kind of, but he was there. He was like, he knew that I was so upset and they just want to help.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks I've been fighting bronchitis, and Frenchie, my girl, who really doesn't like to cuddle unless it's really cold, she was on the bed with me every day. Even if she wasn't next, it's like she had to keep her eye on me. And my other cats have done that. Even dogs I've had when I was younger, it was like if they knew I wasn't feeling well, they would come in bed or they'd lay by my bed, like they were protecting me. It's really amazing. And it's so funny, one of the cats I used to have, Cosmo, he was not social. He was like, he would run and hide the minute he heard someone open our door. Well, when my sister was pregnant with my nephew, she had come over and was sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden, here comes Cosmo. He comes over and rubs her legs and sits with her and lets her pet him. He had never done that with her or anyone. Yeah. And it was like he knew she was pregnant and he was rubbing on her. And
that's right. I've heard this.
It was so crazy because at first we were like, what's happening? And then I went, oh my gosh, he knows you're pregnant and he's coming to say hi and to love on you. It was the coolest thing, I have to say. Animals are just the best.
I know. It's awesome. I just wish people treat them better.
Yes. I think that's a good thing to wrap up on. We love our animals. People, please treat them better. And please educate yourself before you adopt an animal. Please. Yeah.
And don't judge other people for having a dog versus a cat or something like
that. Yes. They're all animals and we love them. And so as we wrap up, Tara, I will post about the two organizations you mentioned. Homeward Trails in the DC metro area.
Yes, and I will, and that's post like their... where I fostered the two puppies. And I'm like,
yes.
Otherwise, I would just go and feed their cats or walk their dogs every once in a while.
Okay.
But yeah, they were a good organization.
And I'll link their Instagram, and then also, of course, the organization you work with in Mexico City. Casa della Mizio. I have no, that sounds more Italian to me than Mexican the way I said
I get it. Yeah, it was really sweet. Yeah. No,
it sounds like a great, great organization. So listeners, I will link both of those organizations when I post this episode, as well as in the description. So if you want to learn more about either of them, you can. And I want to thank you, Tara, so much for coming and talking about your amazing pets.
Thank you for letting me share my little baby stories.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Okay. So listeners, we will be back soon with a new episode. Talk to you later, and go hug your cats and dogs for us. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Story of My Pet podcast. Special thanks to Tara Jabari for being here to talk about her amazing animals and her love for animals of all kind. I loved hearing about Fluffy, Shiva the Diva, and Zeus. Don't forget to follow the organizations that she mentioned, Homeward Trails, which is in the DC metro area, and an organization in Mexico, La Casa de la Mezzo. Both will be linked in the bio. Thank you so much for being here. Please check us out and follow us on Instagram at the Story of My Pet podcast. You can also find information about being a guest if you'd like, as well as sign up for my email list so you'll hear all about every episode right when it hits. Thanks so much for being here.